Yeah, thanks, Sue, for that. That's great. It's been a great meeting so far. And again, just from the outset of just being thankful to God for what we have and all of that stuff has been great. And I know over the last few weeks, Dave and I have just been really able to do that and really able to just find God through difficult or just challenging circumstances, really. And we're just so thankful. And again, yeah, the weather being better and everything just feels slightly brighter and slightly lighter. That's how I keep describing things, is that we're just feeling that just some of that heaviness, I think, is lifting off us. So I'm really excited to be sharing this word with you this morning. And I try to neatly package it up and try to get some into 3 points, but it kind of didn't work like that. So this is just more of a series of thoughts. It's probably more bit like a conversation, but I just hope it helps you in your journey. And I think probably what I'm feeling is this word, the living with Jesus, third part of my little series, is probably actually the most important one that we've looked at. So we've looked at living like Jesus, we've looked at loving like Jesus, and so now it's time for us to focus on living with Jesus. And I just think we all need to really just really be able to grasp hold of this. So even I mean, we've got a few more weeks and months yet before life fully sort of moves on to what it looks like next. So we need to be really knowing that Jesus is with us. And I started to think about this in the lead up to Christmas last year, when always, you know, it comes up to Christmas and we really start to focus our attention, don't we, on Jesus coming as Emmanuel, God with us. And it just really made me think that actually I needed to, and I think for all of us, we need to not just think about it at Christmas time when we're thinking about those scriptures where we are told that Jesus will be called Emmanuel, but we actually need to be really, really aware of it at all other times of the year and throughout our lives. Because what we have to remember is that it is our primary goal as followers of Jesus to live in a constant state of connection with the Holy Spirit. We need to be able to do that, and we need to be able to do that effectively. And the disciples were really, really lucky, weren't they? They had human Jesus actually living with them. So that was really easy. They knew who he was. They could chat with him one-to-one and live life with him through, you know, the ups, the downs, through the good, for the bad. But we have to kind of navigate the unseen Jesus, who is with us all of the time, and just sort of grasp hold of, I suppose, how to live with this extra person in our lives who is always there. And just a bit of a funny example, really, as I've been trying to think about this and articulate it, is that since March the 23rd, so whatever that is, 300 and gosh, probably 40 odd days. So since that date, Dave and I have pretty much been together 24/7 in lockdown, together in the same house, doing the same things. And that's quite unusual for us to go through a year where we are together in that way. Because before lockdown, we'd go out to work every day, we'd come back, we would be doing our own things independently of one another, we'd go out with our own friends, we'd be doing various different things that we're involved in. But I mean, we would always obviously all come back together. I might, you know, have times when I'm away for work or whatever it may be. We have not been used to, I suppose, spending this time 24/7 together in the same house, even when we, you know, sort of going out and all of the rest of it, it is together. And it just made me feel like that's a bit like, I think, you know, having Jesus with us. And it has been really good. And what we've had to do together is find things and common ground and things that we've been able to do together, because I don't think lockdown would have worked if we'd have just sort of tried to somehow go on with the lives that we lived before lockdown, because it just wouldn't have worked. And actually we've you know, we've got a lot achieved, we've achieved so much together. But it just really made me think about that whole being with somebody 24/7. And again, even though Dave and I don't work in the same space when we're we're doing our daily jobs. I can hear him in the background. I know he's there. He's kind of this ever-present being, except when he trundles off to B&Q or Tesco's or walks the dog. He is there, and I get the sense that he is there. And I think that's how we need to be a bit with Jesus. We need to be sensing that he is there amongst us at all times, and we can hear him. So just a bit of a funny analogy, but I didn't really have anything else that I could compare it to. So again, lockdown's great, isn't it, for giving us some little analogies. But what's been really, really interesting for me as I've sort of thought about this and prayed about it is, and again, reading the Gospels at this time, is it's really interesting to see in the Gospel of Matthew that at the beginning of that chapter, we see reference to Jesus being with us. And then at the very end of the chapter, we are reminded that he is with us. So that for me has said that is really, really important. And we need to grasp hold of that as followers of Jesus and be aware of it and be reminded of it as we go through life. So just a couple of scriptures in respect of that. So at the beginning of Matthew, even before Jesus was born, we read, don't we, in Matthew 1, and this is verse 20 to 23 in the Message. While he was trying to figure out a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to you. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. This would bring the prophet's embryonic revelation to full term. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Hebrew for God is with us. And in the Passion Translation, it has a slightly different take on it, and it says that Jesus becomes one of us. So that for me refers to the fact that he's come to earth in his humanity. But interesting that the very beginning, even before Jesus is born, it was going to be really important for believers to know that he is with us. And I know all through the Old Testament we hear, you know, lots of scriptures about, you know, God being with us and, you know, take courage for he is with you and all of the rest of it. But I think this is something new in the New Testament about really understanding that God will be with us. And then at the end of Matthew, before Jesus ascends to heaven, the promise is made that he will be with us until the end of time. And we are to never forget it. And in Matthew 28 and verse 18 to 20, again in the Message, it says, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day, right up to the end of the age. I like it in the Passion Translation, and it says, then Jesus came close to them and said, all the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age. And I just really love that focus on never forgetting that he is with us every day. So as I was sort of like dwelling on that and focusing on, well, what does that actually mean practically for me? I'm a practical person and like to practically outwork scripture. I just started to really just think about how that shows itself, how Jesus being with us every day really kind of works. And we had a lovely moment in our small group the other week where we were having a time of sharing, and Sue shared one of my favourite scriptures actually in John from the Message translation. And I think this is the thing that I think can really help us and really brings it to life. So in John 1, and it's verse 14 in the Message, it says, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from the start to finish. And that bit where it talks about Jesus moving into the neighbourhood, I think is really the key to understand what it is to live with him. So he has come, hasn't he, physically and materially in our neighbourhoods, into our homes, into our lives, into our communities. But also, most importantly, he has come to live in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And what this really means for me is this is all about the inviting him into every moment of our lives, and that learning to always be with two people at once. And whether that's at home, at work, on your commute, when you're out on your exercise, whatever it may be, you need to try to acknowledge Jesus being with you in all of these moments. And I think we've focused on this quite a bit over the last few weeks, whether it's been in prayer times or through our meetings together. The bringing his presence into the routines of our daily lives is just so, so important, and probably more important than ever right now where we find ourselves. But I suppose the big question for us is, even in lockdown or in isolation or wherever we find ourselves, how do we accomplish that in the chaos of what is just a chaotic, stressful digital world? You know, how do we do that? And we have to look to Jesus, I think, as our example. I mean, you know, when you read in the Gospels, he had that awesome connection and access to the Father that I think we can learn a lot from. And if we look back to the talk I did, Living Like Jesus, there's probably some helpful pointers in there for how you can maintain that connection and access to him on a day-to-day basis. And I think probably as well, as I've thought about all of these things over the last few months, is that we make these things difficult for ourselves. But actually, with all of these things, actually, we can simplify it and not overcomplicate it. And the way I've simplified this is to just simplify this into one sentence that says, he is with you. You are never alone. But there's a choice to be made. And this is, I suppose, a really important thing to know as well, is that even if we do not choose to acknowledge that he is there, he is there. When I think back to that example of me and Dave being in lockdown together, even if I chose not to acknowledge him on a day-to-day basis, and that doesn't happen, sometimes during the day, our working days, we might pass in the kitchen and it just sort of happens. But with Jesus, we have to choose to acknowledge him. But even if we don't, he is still there. And we can't forget that. You can't live truly independently of him, because he will always be there. And for me, I think this is all about for us. And again, I think there's four key areas that I've had to develop over the last year, particularly as we're not meeting together in person, together in the same room, is these are things that I think will really help us to, I suppose, be with him and know that he is there and hear from him. And as we've heard, again, really, really important for us as a church at the moment, prayer. Prayer is the center point of our life with God. And we need to weave it into every part of our day, in every way, into our schedules. We need to be disciplined in our, I suppose, our scheduling of prayer into our world, because it is in prayer that we will connect with Jesus and we will hear from him. And I found this lovely quote, actually, a few weeks back from a chap called Andy Owen. He is a Scottish pastor, and many of you will know him from the Old Covenant Ministries Day. He used to lead all of the work up in Scotland. And he said, I discovered recently that in much of the Old Testament, the word prayer is found occasionally, but far more frequently we find men called on God. They went looking for him. And do you know what? I promise you, if you go looking for God, you will find him. So for me, there is something about the active in coming before God or before Jesus in prayer to hear from him, is that we have to call on him. It's an act of choice to go and seek him. But the promise is, if we go looking for him, we will find him and we will hear him. Another big one for really living with Jesus and knowing he is there with you is the word. And I don't probably need to expand on that, but you can't live an effective and powerful life with Jesus, in Jesus, knowing he is with you, without the scripture. And again, probably since Christmas, when we've been digging into the Gospels, I've really enjoyed that, just reading the Word of God for reading the Word of God's sake, not to get anything out of it. But in doing that, God has spoken to me so much, and I have really felt that God has been close to me in these times, and these words have come out of that. So that's really great. And it just stands for itself. You know, you will know Jesus is with you by reading the scripture and applying it to your life. This next one's a really interesting one, and it's a bit of a John Mark Comer one, and I think it is a really interesting one, because for a lot of us, we like to be in and around the noise. We like to have background noise. We like to be talking to people. So things like being in silence and on our own can be really, really hard. But actually, silence and solitude are a real spiritual way of just removing the distractions that are around you, so you can refocus and connect with God. And again, I think we've seen this in the last few weeks through, again, various talks, is this need to be still, to create space, to take yourself away from the noise, is really, really important in being able to connect with God in new and fresh ways. And what that doesn't mean, I suppose, is putting on some background music or whatever to get yourself in the zone. There is actually real power in just being able just to switch off everything, put your books to one side, put your phone to one side, whatever it may be, and just sit and be still and know that he is God, and know that he is speaking to you, and knowing that he is with you. And that's really, really precious. And yeah, silence is something that I've had to learn through this season, because again, being so used to being with people, loving being with people, socializing and all the rest of it, is actually, I've really learned how to appreciate silence. And then lastly, for me, worship is a really big deal. And again, it's something during this season that I've had to learn to connect with in a new way. As you know, like most of us, we'll have found our, connections in worship in that more corporate setting when we're all together. But when you take it away, what are you left with? And we've all had to dig deep in worship. And I've had to do that in a new way. And I'd like to worship when I'm either running, which I'm doing again now, or cooking. And that's been really, really great. But for me, it's a really important way to really be able to know and feel that God is with me. And I suppose when I've been sort of like thinking about all of these things, when I think about worship and prayer and the word and all of these different things, I think I've been really challenged to kind of imagine what it would have been like if we'd have gone through this pandemic without the access to technology that we are so blessed to have. How would I have been without Amazon delivering the latest Christian material to me, Apple Music for the latest worship tunes, YouTube access to any church service I've ever dreamed of attending, or even, you know, our own Zoom that enables us as a community to keep connected? If this pandemic had happened 20 years ago, or even maybe before that, how would we have got through this as a community of believers without connections to technology? Would I have enough of a connection to the Holy Spirit in me to have been able to make it through this season without having access to all of these external sources to keep me going? Would I have been able to, yeah, would my faith have remained strong in very difficult times without these things? And I think what this time has taught me is actually not to be so over-reliant on external sources. And yes, I read a lot and I watch a lot and all of the rest of it, but I'm really careful as to what that is, so that I'm not overwhelmed and I'm not getting a variety of different voices. But actually, when it comes down to it, I want to be able to hear his voice first. I want to know that he is with me. And the fact that we haven't connected in person for a year, it might not faze me as much as it would, because actually I know what I've got within me is enough. And if we never met together in person again, it would be enough because of my relationship with Jesus. And we have to ask ourselves, have we got that within us? And again, if we have all got that within us, by the time we come back to meeting in person, wow, what an awesome time that's going to be, because we will come with whatever we've got in our hands out of the overflow of what we've learned and what we've gathered over this time. And I think, you know, I think probably a lot of us could say, actually, we've really had to grow up in this time. And again, Rich is talking spoken a lot about growing and about growth. And I think part of this is growing in our maturity around knowing that Jesus is with us and accessing that. And I think maybe if some of us are honest, we have relied far too heavily on external sources rather than going direct to the source. I think there's been a lot to be said recently in all sorts of talks we've heard. Steve Uppel referred to it, and Rich and Dave and I mentioned a talk that we'd heard from Anne Calver and Paul Harcourt again this week about us moving from a place where we consume from one another and from the church, because actually what we need to do is go direct to the source, which is to be with him and hear from him directly. So just a few questions again to consider, and these are questions that I ask myself. I'm still learning in all of this, but these are questions that it would be good for you to take away and consider in this space of knowing he is with you. So do you truly know he is with you? And how do you know that? Might be good to write down some of those things. How much time do you actually spend with him? Are you aware of whose company you are in? So are you aware of him all of the time? Even when life gets full, is he part of that fullness of your life? Do you allow the fact that he is with you to change your approach to the everyday and the ordinary? That's a really interesting one, because again, there's that tendency, isn't there, where we will seek God in times of trouble, but in the everyday and the ordinary, how much are we including him? And do we need to talk more and involve him in the conversations of our lives? Sue Gabbitas made me laugh the other week. I think it was, she said, oh, well, I'm a real chatterbox and I'm chatting to God all of the time. Do we have that relationship with him where we are involving him in those just everyday simple conversations of what you're going with? Because I can probably add on heart say this, that if you have good positive responses to all of those things, you're spending time with him, you really understand who he is, you're aware of who that you are in his company all of the time, you're including him in the ordinary, I can bet your life that if you do that and you've got that increased awareness of his presence, that you will live lightly, you will live abundantly, and you will expand what you are believing for. One commentary on Psalm 13 said, the storm may still be raging, but in the midst of the storm, there is a reassuring presence. And I just thought that was lovely for the moment that we find ourselves in right now. And even though things are getting lighter, it just seems to a good thing to be able to do, to hold on in these hard, difficult times still, to the reassuring presence of God with us by the Holy Spirit. And whilst we know that it says in Psalm 46 and verse 1 that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, we need to remember that he isn't just with us in the bad, but in the good and everything in between. And we just need to learn to choose to access him. Amen.